Welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ady Packham and we are the Kings of the South Coast in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, what an excellent week on Planet Albion. Following on from our double over Chelsea, we completed the South Coast double with an easy win over doomed Southampton and a not-so-easy win over Bournemouth. That made it four wins on the bounce for the first time since 2016. And it also saw Danny Welbeck go level with Pascal Gross as our top scorer in the Premier League. Al will no doubt tell us later how far behind Michael Robinson he actually is. This weekend, we are back in cup action as we face the long trip north to take on Newcastle, who are already through to one cup final and will be keen to get to another one. But hopefully, we can upset the apple cart. With me today, as we look back on the week's action, is, as ever, Alan Wares, and we are delighted to welcome back Andy Bass. Andy, good to see you. I mean, it seems like a lifetime since I last saw you.
It's been literally minutes.
What have you been up to then?
Well, no, I haven't seen him today. I saw. I was very much with him last night.
There may have been
Tuaca. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, okay. Andy, I mean, just as a sort of brief overview, it's quite a recovery from that hiding at Forest, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been a resetting of the ship. I think we've starting to establish a little bit of an identity now. There's a little bit more continuity. Still a couple of changes of game, but really the overall shape of the team is now kind of settling down. I mean, the Forest game was such an aberration, but it did pose serious questions, and it looks like everybody at the club has been serious about finding an answer to them. So, it's just the last four games have been fantastic.
Mm. And like I said in the intro there, it's the first time we've won four since 2016. And when, in fact, actually, we went on a run of five games. So let's hope that we can surpass that and do five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Some easy
games coming up, that's all. I mean, what are we needing to worry about here?
Well, you know, Man City, who are they? Exactly. But let's start with last Saturday's trip along the coast. I'd like to say it was a comfortable trip along the coast, Andy, but it most definitely was not. Thank you. Thank you very much, Southern Rail, for your brilliant assistance. But I worked out that I didn't get anywhere near a seat until the fourth train of the day on the way home.
Yeah, it was the opening hours express was quite full.
Do tell. Oh, right. Were they only putting on the four-seaters with no toilets?
Yeah, yep. Well, no, I think there was actually toilets on some of the trains, so which was a small mercy, I think.
Yeah. I think the only person who would be able to get to the toilet would have been Ollie Norwood, I think.
Yeah, but I remember when those trains came in. The Brighton down to Portsmouth ones. There were four carriages, no toilets. The reasoning, the rationale from Southern Rail, because let's face it, I mean they're a good target to stick beat them with, and even now, there was, you know, it was sort of like usually the last train home or the late night train. You come out of the pub, You have been to the loo just before you've been, but their thing is, well, one, only 10% of people make the journey from Brighton to Portsmouth. Well, okay, fine. So that 10% actually don't have a bladder that works. Fine, fair enough. Secondly, you only have to go from Brighton to Hove if you've been in the pub and you need the loo again. What are you going to do? We on the platform. Their reasoning, their rationale behind it was absolutely from Mars. It was pathetic. So the fact they do have toilets in there, even though no one can get to them, and there's a good chance they're always broken down. Well, I would say it's a sign of the times, but probably if you go back to the trains in the 70s, then they'd have had the curtains stuck in them. Do you remember them? Curtains on a train.
Oh yeah. Happy days, happy days.
Light bulbs you could unscrew. The usual thing was, when I used to go home, was they'd unscrew the light bulbs, which of course you can't now, open the window, which you can't now, and throw them out over the viaduct into someone's garden.
What a rebel, Al. A
That
rebel.
was the soft stuff.
Well, yeah.
Usually they unscrewed a the, I don't know, they usually unscrewed a Luton fan and threw him out the window.
Well, yeah, let's move swiftly on from your train journeys of your youth. I mean, I did they have any coal still, Al? It's like
Listen, excuse me, there's someone here older than us two, so I wouldn't
that's
push
true.
that one too far if
That's
I were
true.
you.
Okay. Now, and Andy, when we came away from St. Mary's on Saturday, it's kind of unusual to have come away having won 4-0, lamenting all the missed chances. But that's exactly what we were doing.
Well, I think it was more you lamenting the missed chances than me. I was perfectly happy. I said on the train, on the aforementioned train down, I said I just wanted this to be quite a dull routine win where we just handily beat a bad team and might be last on match of the day, and like people will just say, "Oh, Brighton just beat Southampton, nothing to see here, move along." And that's kind of how it panned out. It could easily have been 8 or 9. Thanks to Mr. Ramsdale, he managed to, give their goal difference some dignity. I thought
Do you know how much you sounded like Norman Wisdom there?
I thought I was going to go with, did you miss say Grimsdale?
Yeah,
But
Mr. Ramsdale.
Mr.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I'm sorry, Andy. Carry
Ramsdale.
on, mate.
But yeah, I mean, Ramsdale was brilliant, and he made some genuinely good saves, and and it was just a terrific game. It was a real, we all, as Albion fans, we all know we don't tend to do well in these games. We tend to make a meal of it, and instead of making a meal of it, we tucked in and enjoyed a meal of it.
I thought we made 3 meals of it and then still
And
tucked in.
we were really positive, and we just got the job done. Southampton are really bad at football
Yeah.
right now, and we're quite good. So, and you could tell.
I mean, that was probably the worst team I've seen at this level since we've been back.
They were abysmal. They offered absolutely nothing. And I watched a couple of Southampton. I watched a Southampton preview during the week on YouTube. This guy called Football Martin or something. He was a very mild-mannered, well-considered vlogger,
Canada.
and he made a good preview. And then I watched. So I watched it. Obviously, I watched his review of the game, and I felt quite sorry for him. I mean, the man was just basically crestfallen after he'd been so nice to us, sort of like in the build-up. He certainly was under no illusions. He thought Southampton would lose handily as well, so he wasn't surprised by the result. But that team is just giving them nothing. That organisation is giving those fans nothing. They are clueless. They just don't know how to build a squad, build a team. The manager does a, the manager probably wants to go and work somewhere else
Yeah.
as well, I would imagine. And
Portsmouth.
we just look really good.
Mean, surely they can't beat Derby's record. Surely not. I
I
mean,
get the feeling that when Derby did that, they almost just made it up to the division just to get the money in order to go back down again, just to get a
well,
few
that
quid in the
was, I mean,
coffers.
well, the Derby record, for those who don't know, was 11 points. Southampton are what, 9 points? So
Pro
we're in.
rata the wrong course to not beat the record. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Andy. Poor teams are there to be beaten. They are a sham. I mean, I'll give you an example as to what a shambles they are. Chelsea stuck four past them this week, so that's how bad they are. And like you say, 8 or 9. I think the only other time, there's one time in the Premier League where I was kind of wistfully with wist. I can't remember what the phrase is. Missing out on a cricket scores when we beat Wolves 6-0. And even Wolves fans came away from that saying, well, that could have easily been 10. We got away with it by only conceding 6. You could probably argue that case back to the Forest game that we got away with it a little bit. But no, like I say, poor teams are there to be beaten. But the thing is, it wasn't just about the fact of how poor Southampton were. There was a new set of tactics that I hadn't seen Hertzler employ before. I think I'd seen Potter try it, and I think I'd seen De Zerbi try it, but there was an awful lot more very quick one-touch football.
Yeah, I think there's been an evolution, of the way that we've been playing over the last four games, and Southampton provided us with an opportunity to test drive a few new things. But there's a confidence. The players are confident now. They've got a spring in their step after the two Chelsea wins. As well they might. And I think the second win against Chelsea was mightily impressive. You'd have thought, having turned them over the first time, it would be a tougher.
You'd have thought they'd learned a lesson, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and actually I thought we improved even further. We kept our foot on the gas, and I thought,
Yes.
and that was a key thing about the Southampton game as well. It's like we were, despite the best efforts of Ramsdale, we were trying to rack up that cricket score, and we didn't rest on our laurels. We were still putting goal attempts in right until the very
Let's
end.
face it, Minte wanted, we really wanted a goal, didn't he?
I can't wait for him to get his next goal. He'll enjoy that.
I mean, we're bringing out all the old references today, but I mean, it's like when he's clean through and he does an impression of Devon Locke. I mean, it's just absolutely,
Well,
I
he
can't,
didn't. The
but it just
two.
legs just went from underneath it. And it's like when he's clean through, I'm like, oh. And
No,
then
it's quite good as
the
well.
one putting the goalkeeper and a defender on their
Well, I
backsides.
thought that's what you were talking about. The
No, I'm talking about
goalkeeper
the
and
one in the first half.
yeah, the
First half.
keeper and the defenders both doing impression of Devon Locke.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, it wasn't actually. I mean, I was just watched the highlights before we started recording this again, and it was. I didn't actually realise at the time that it was actually a really good save from Ramsdale again. To that when
Which one was, sorry?
for the one where Minter put them on the backsides.
It was, but he really shouldn't have been in a position to make the
No, he
save.
should have been in the back in there about 5 minutes before that.
Well, this is the weird thing about it, and this is one of my bugbears of footballers. I mean, it sounds like I'm picking on Minter. I'm not, because as soon as we start saying, well, we think he's turned the corner, you then realise that his approach play is great. His defensive work at the moment is off the scale.
Oh, yeah.
Probably with the exception of, prove me wrong, the first game of the season, his right leg is purely there to stand on. And the reason I say that is he crossed with his right foot for Minte to score against Everton on the first day of the season. Yes?
No, because it was Minto that put the cross in.
That's what I just said. No, he put, that's what I said. He put the cross in on the right with the right foot for Matoma to score. Yeah. But he did that with his right foot. That's the point I'm making. Yes? Or
Yes.
did he do it again with the outside of his left?
I'm pretty sure.
Or
I
have I now
think
got you two scratching your heads?
when
Well,
I
he put
honestly
the
can't
cross in.
remember. I'll have to go back and have
They
a
used
look.
his, he used the outside of his left to put it into
He did that for Rutter against
for Ritter.
Southampton. Yes. And like I say, it was the fact that he only wanted to use his left foot after having put the two Southampton players on their backsides. Whereas, like I say, it was just, screaming out to swing your right foot and bury it in the onion bag. But, yes, it was a good save, but there's no way that Ramsdale should have been in a position to have been able to make the save.
No, but it
That
words
even that
fail me.
isn't
I mean, I
even the
could.
funniest Minte bit of the show, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, well, that's.
But I was sat next to Dean Ashton in the on
Name
Saturday,
drop, why don't you?
and he just. He could not quite believe what exactly what Minte
Yeah.
had actually done. It was just, it was
Well, there were
like.
so many chances. The things that you were talking about, all right, if it was you lamenting AD, fair enough. If Andy was just sort of quite happy, fair enough. Was that in some cases it was, as the commentator might say, that cliche, it would have been easier to score. That's when you think, well, yes, it could have been seven. But as it
Yeah.
is, one thing you do have to look at, if you're looking at stats only, and I apologize for keep going back to the Forest thing, but we actually offloaded that spectre within 2 games by beating Chelsea 3-0, by beating Southampton 4-0. There's our goal difference back within 2 matches, not having conceded. What a corner that we've
Yeah.
turned there.
But I mean this really should have been eight. It really should have been. I
You're
mean
going to say that to your dying day, aren't you?
I just can't. You know
What about
what?
the
I
amount of
mean,
goals we did
we're gonna
score?
come to this in a minute because I mean, the club again they did something that they did a couple of weeks ago where we like with Ritter's 2 goals, one against Norwich, and the one was it against Chelsea? I can't remember. But basically, there were two. Yeah, it was against Chelsea. Two identical goals, and they played them. They did the montage of them back to back. They also done the montage of the Mitoma goal and
Yeah,
the
one and
Pedro
three
goal
were
from
exact.
Saturday. They're just identical.
Well,
And
actually,
we
we could have
created that
sc
chance again and again and again. Belabor was through. Minte was through 3 times. Gruder was through. It was like,
Never underestimate the dink, the power of the dink.
I have got Dink written down here.
Yeah,
And
I do, mate.
but I mean there was a lot of speculation about who the man of the match should have actually been on Saturday. Georgie was just magnificent, though.
I mean, actually, for the pair of you're in the stadium versus getting a slightly different perspective. What do you make of Rutter's performance that day, Andy?
Was really good.
I suppose all of them really good
I
because we
thought
made to
everybody
look
was
really
really
good,
good.
aren't we?
It was quite hard. It was quite hard. Like, who do you pick as man of the match? Apart from Aaron Ramsdale, who was clearly the
Yeah.
man of the match.
Kept it sensible.
But yeah, I thought Rutter. But you could have made an argument for loads of players. I mean, it was such a great collective effort, and there was a joy in the football. They were really they were enjoying it. I think once they realised that they weren't going to come up against much opposition, they thought, let's really get into this. Let's really enjoy it. The body language was really good. They were just having fun.
One thing I did notice, Andy, actually, certainly when Rutter scored and certainly when Mitoma scored, was the pair of them, and others did as well, immediately sort of almost turned around and pointed straight back to the person who assisted them. And obviously, with Mitoma's one, it was just the tiniest little 2 foot pass from Pedro that just set him on his way. Obviously, once he's hit the afterburners, you're not going to catch him. Or if you do, you're going to get a red card. But likewise with Rutter nicked the ball. It fell to Minto, but the first thing Rutter did when he scored is he went straight to his pal. And it's that kind of camaraderie that's both open and really welcome to see.
No,
Could
I
not
agree
agree.
more. Absolutely, yeah. There's clearly vis note. It was easy to notice that, and it's great to see. You love to see it. I mean, as we were, we'll talk about Bournemouth later. But as we were walking up to the ground yesterday, I said, like, this is this. I've got back to like really looking forward to going to the games now. Like, we're fun to watch. I mean, it's not been a. It's not been the easiest
Yeah.
of years, where this year, and the sort of the fun had gone out of it a little bit. But it's back now. At least for the past 4 games, it's been fun.
Well,
So.
some of the fun actually, I think, is the fact that we were promised the fact that Hertzler was an absolute maniac compared to De Zerbi on the sidelines, and he isn't. He picks up cards for fun. I'd love to know what it is he does or says to get cards because, he's not quite that overtly remonstrative that we were expecting to see. But, certainly with people saying, well, you think De Zerbi's mad on the touchline, wait till you see Fabian. Hasn't really happened. I can only assume he's just got a mouthy gob.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not really really like throwing his toys out his pram and like De Zerbi did, like
Not
kicking
quite.
bottles and stuff. But no. But okay, well, okay. So I mean, we've got four goals to talk about. We've talked about that. I mean, two of them were identical, which were the Pedro and Mitoma goals. Obviously, again, the Minto was great for Georgie's goal. But Andy, we scored from a corner. We never score from corners. We scored from a corner.
That's what happens when you play
I'm
Southampton.
not being funny. If Southampton defend like that, I think either scores from that corner. The look on Henshelwood's face is that, I mean, as he took his eye up from the crossword that he was doing in the penalty box, and the ball just appeared at his feet, and he thought, I better kick it then. It was absolutely hysterically funny, and what a great little return for Jack.
Yeah,
Absolutely brilliant.
I said I've got in my notes here. I was writing about Hinchelwood, and you probably don't agree, but I prefer seeing him as a fullback. I think he just it suits him more.
For a start, central midfielder. I know he played for the under 21s and grew up playing central midfield. And of course, there's an almighty difference between playing for the under 21s and playing for the first team. And the learning curve is just immense. Do you remember the days? I remember the days of seeing Moises Caicedo playing for the under 21s at Lancing. All right, he made it look easy in the end, but it still took him a time to break into the first team. That's the sort of like the learning curve. But once you're there, I mean, there is probably no greater education than playing in the first team, certainly under the three previous managers, the current and the two previous managers we've had. Hinshelwood is improving in central midfield. Maybe he just won't forgive Hertzler for sticking him there on his own in the middle of Nottingham Forest.
That was
But
poor.
yeah. But yes, well, the point is we know he can play fullback either
Yeah.
side as well, and he's very, very good there.
But I think my point really is, I mean, he seems to get up and down the pitch very easily, and with the way that our personnel is developing, and we're going to come to Diego Gomez later, but the competition for berths in that midfield is just getting harder and harder and harder. So to have that string to his bow that he can actually play at fullback, I think is possibly the only way he's going to get into the team.
Well, it depends what Hertzler has in mind by way of a pecking order in the central midfield. But now, as we discussed at the end of the game last night, he's now got five midfielders, of which one has the potential to be world class, and then four. But the only thing that worries me about all of those central midfielders, and maybe it's because of the high intensity that he expects the players to play, is it's actually very rare for any of them to play the whole 90. Perhaps it's a good thing that they don't, and they're good for 70, and he expects them to bust some lungs for those 70 minutes. But yeah, I mean, it's very rare that any of our central midfielders start and finish a game. But yeah, I mean, Hinshelwood is the, I suppose, the next potential to be Pascal Gross. He's got an eye for a pass. He doesn't have any tricks just yet, even though Pascal Gross's main trick was about as slow, it was always in slow motion and yet still worked. But he's got that within him to play almost anywhere. I mean, he can even slot in at centre back if absolutely necessary, and yet then still pings up with some goals. Hinshelwood is still very exciting, and I think the fact that we don't necessarily know his best position, even if he prefers central midfield, I don't think really matters. If he's on the pitch, I'm quite happy.
Yeah, basically he can play anywhere. So if he's on there, I'm confident he's going to do a good job.
Yeah.
And he wants to do it for his beloved Brighton and Hove Albion. So at the very least, full well he's motivated to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we'll move on for that. You're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. The show is brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited. Alan, where can you get your flowers from?
Well, actually, seeing as it's starting to warm up, not my front garden just yet. But so alternatively, I suggest you head to Flowers Unlimited, 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. Go and see the lovely people that work in there for all your floral needs. And also for all your celebratory needs. So, like I say, your bottle of poo, your greetings cards, the very things that actually you hand to someone that says happy, whatever it might be
Wow.
you're going to celebrate.
Well, we do have Mother's Day coming up very
You do
soon.
have, yeah, at the end of next month, it's Mothering Sunday. Meanwhile, yes, so do head in there. 175 to 177 Portland Road. And don't forget that if you're an Albion season ticket holder, but do make sure you tell them. I mean, if you turn up in full Albion regalia, then there's a good chance that they might get a hint of a clue as to who it is you follow. But if you don't, sort of, if you just turn up in your ready mankini, then do let them know that you're an Albion fan, and you'll get your 20% discount.
Okay. Also coming up in March, there is a charity football match which is taking part at Woodside Road in Worthing. It's in aid of the Rocking Horse Children's Charity, and our good friend Brett Mendoza has put this together. And it's an Albion Legends match against a celebrity 11, which has been put together. Well, the Albion team's been put together by Guy Butters. The celebs has been put through together by Joe Wilkinson. It's on the 22nd of March, kickoff at 2 p.m. Tickets are £12 for adults, £5 for the under 18s, and under fives are free. You can obviously just turn up on the day and get tickets on the turnstiles, but you can get them av in advance by going to the Rocking Horse website. Now, there's an awful lot of
Sorry,
Albion
Bridget.
legends coming on this one. Like, who are you looking forward to seeing, Andy? Gary Hart?
Yeah, Gary Hart would be the number one for me.
Baz Savage.
Oh, I didn't realize he was playing. Excellent. Yeah, superb.
Yeah,
Got it.
it's gonna be quite. Dean Cox is also gonna be there. You've
Course,
got Maisie Adam, you've got
it's the class of 07, isn't it, basically?
yeah, pretty much. Tommy Fraser's playing. Yeah,
Can
it's
we just
gonna.
point out? Can I just point out that just for those who don't realise, AD mentioned Rocking Horse Children's Charity there. What that basically is, it's the official fundraising arm of the Royal Alexandra Children's Hospital, based at the well, it's actually nowadays based at the Sussex County Hospital, the rebuilt Sussex County Hospital in Euston Road. But yes, it's the official fundraising arm for the Royal Alexandra Children's Hospital.
Okay. And as I mentioned in the item, we are broadcasting to you on Radio Reverb, and we've got a Reverbathon coming up, Alan.
Yes, we do apologize. Well, do we apologize? No, we're
No.
reaching out to you because we do only take in money. Radio Reverb, this brilliant community radio station, we only take in money through sponsorship donations and grants. So, because we'd like to, as best we can, keep this radio station advertisement free. Unless, I guess, you want to hear advertisements for Flowers Unlimited all the time, that's absolutely fine. We'd be more than happy to. But
I
so
can do
yes,
the
the
voice.
Reverbathon. We're going over the weekend of the 12th and 13th of April. 2 days we'll be broadcasting live. So in the on the Saturday, the 12th of April, we'll be broadcasting live from the open market, which is where the Reverb studio is. And then on the Sunday, the 13th of April, we'll be at the Hope and Ruin pub in Queen's Road. Everyone's welcome to well, you can blow raspberries, but I think it just ruins the music. So we're doing mostly it's mostly speech on Saturday, music on Sunday. And if you feel like therefore donating to Radio Reverb, please do. Or you can do so at any time if you just go to radioreverb.com/donate and give us all of your salary.
You can
So
indeed.
the tax man will have it.
And also, we are looking for additional sponsors for our show on the day. So if you or your company wants to sponsor the Albion Roar for the Reverbathon, just get in contact with us at thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk.
And if you
Now,
do, we will give you all the love we can. Failing that, then as many screamed shout outs as possible.
absolutely. Now, Andy, what a brilliant football match last night. Or Tuesday night, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah, it was one of the best games I've been at in ages in terms of like, an actual really good football game where it was all about the football rather than like the emotion, like, the Chelsea game's all about needle and stuff like that. But this was just a celebration of football and like the new, the you know the the new breed in the Premier League, slugging it out, you know, with a game that really had something on it as the race for European places and even Champions League places. Heavens forfend, is actually sort of concertinaing quite nicely into that, to a battle for that sort of fourth or fifth spot. And it was just two teams that really wanted to go for it. Two teams that are playing in this with a similar outlook, I think. And they were both trying to win the game. They both attacked, both tested each other's defenses, both forced the goalkeepers into good saves and defenders into great stops, and just wowed us with some fantastic attempts at goal.
Yeah.
It was just an absolute pleasure to watch.
There was some scintillating football on display, wasn't there?
There was some of the movement on display was brilliant. I mean, both teams were just able to like move the ball end to end, seamlessly gliding across the pitch, and like, yeah, just like on multiple occasions. So, you know, it was just going on all game. I'm quite tempted to actually just watch the entire thing if I just scroll back on the TiVo box and just rewatch the whole thing and just enjoy it again, because it really, really was a terrific game. I thought Bournemouth were excellent, and we beat a good team last night, and we worked really, really hard for it amongst all the sort of grace and quality that we saw. There was also grit, determination, and spirit, again shown by both sides, I thought. But we dug that out, and we dug it out, but in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Now, Alan, we've seen brief glimpses of the genius that is to become Diego Gomez. But it was his first start
Early
last night.
on, he's
My
made a good
God,
start. Genius is pushing it at the moment.
Al, come on, we call John Coughlin a football genius. Come on.
Yeah,
That
that's yeah. For
was
those who don't
ironic,
remember him,
but
slightly ironically.
yeah. But I mean, I've just been so super impressed with what I've seen from him. And
There's two aspects to his game which I think we must comment on, is when he has the ball and when he doesn't have the ball. And when I say he doesn't have the ball, I mean the opposition has the ball. So when he's on the ball, or when we have the ball, he's there, he's looking for it, he knows how to dip a shoulder, he knows how to go past the man, he is actually very, very similar to Carlos Baleba, but probably not as quite as crunching in the tackle, I would say. But once he's got the ball, he's been given a pass. He knows how to glide past people in the way that Baleba can. I don't know that we're talking about Baleba as a world-class player already at 20, but no, Gomez looks absolutely wonderful. The flip side, and this will come, it's not, I don't think I'm being super critical, because when you're making your Premier League debut, you can't be expected to know everything. Especially if you've only ever come on as with cameo appearances, is that off the ball, I've found him out of position a couple of times, and others having to cover him for him a little bit, where he's still needing to a couple of times go back to the chalkboard and work out where it is he's supposed to be at any given moment, especially against a team as manic as Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, we were saying last night, weren't we, about the fact that his cameos have been against teams that have been tiring. But this was him coming in from the off with both teams full of energy from the start. And you know, it's just, I mean, we saw that eye of the needle pass for Minté on
Hector
Saturday, and but
Duranto.
then we saw it twice again last night. I mean, one for the penalty, and then there was the move that where Carew hit the post, and these you know, I can't put it into
Calm
words.
down, AD. Calm down.
I can't put it into words. I'm just really super excited by it, because it's like, you know, that vision and speed of thought to play those balls is something we haven't seen for quite some time.
Oh, all I was saying in that first 20 minutes was just give it to Gomez.
You were saying
Just
that.
give it to him. I never, I for a home starting debut, I've got to say that opening 20 minutes was about as impressive a debut as I have
Yeah.
seen in all of my time watching the Albion.
Well,
Yeah.
who was that guy we had on loan from? I think, Abdul Razak.
It was more impressive than Abdul Razak's performance against Ipswich.
Because, well, he disappeared after that. So
Yeah, I remember
he
that.
never.
Disappeared after that game,
He absolutely bossed that game and then disappeared.
but
Yeah, I remember that.
Gomez was utterly scintillating, and he's really direct. All the, you know, the ball comes to him, he immediately turns towards the opponent's goal. He's looking forward. Who do I pass this forward? Who do I pass this to in that direction towards the goal? He's not looking back. He's not looking sideways. His first instinct is to is appears to be to like, I'm going forward with this.
Yeah.
Either I'm taking it or I'm giving it to someone else who's in front of me.
And there were a
And
couple of times I noticed actually where he was looking to do that. And the forward line was, well, hang on, you're about to pass this, but you're not supposed to be there. And they all looked lost. And he ended up playing this pass that ended up going straight through to the goalkeeper. But then you realize that the other four players ahead of him were just standing around like statues. Now, it's not as though Gomez was going to remonstrate what Paraguayan would ever do that. But if he was a bit more sort of competent or confident in the team, I could see him blowing chunks out of other players because, you know, he was ready with a, you know, as you say, and we're going to use this word, I think, a lot when we're describing him. He was ready with a slide rule pass, and the others were just standing around like trees.
yeah, I mean the first one, the chance for Mitoma, where he just played it just beyond the defender, and Carew got at the end of it, and his shot just went so narrowly wide. It would have been just delightful. And then he did the same thing for the penalty.
You know, you've been talking about carbon copy goals.
Yes.
That would have been one, bearing in mind that Mitoma scored exactly the same down there at Bournemouth.
Similar. Yeah, it was the ball from Pedro. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that
Yeah,
would have been
another
funny as
fantastic
well.
pass. Another great pass.
Yes, we're only scoring identikit goals. Brilliant ones, but only identikit ones.
Well, there was some debate about the penalty when it was awarded, Andy. We've seen it again since. What were your thoughts?
Well, to be honest, at the time, unusually for me, I wasn't entirely sure it was a penalty. I thought Pedro had just kicked the ball. I thought Pedro had just kicked the ball too far, and he was never going to get on the end of it, and it would have been a bit of a harsh award. So I wasn't really screaming for it. And then, having seen the replay, it's clearly a penalty. It gets pushed in the back. He's running at high speed. He's getting pushed in the back. Then he pokes the ball past Kepa, runs in and runs into
And cleans
Kepa.
them out, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that, Kepa couldn't really, having got in that position, he couldn't get out of the way, but it was still a foul. It was still a foul. And to be honest, the ball wasn't as clearly going, clearly off the pitch as I thought it was. So no, it was a penalty. But yeah, it was a rare one where, I wasn't frothing at the mouth for it. I actually just thought, I thought that might not be one, but
Yeah.
actually it was. It wasn't really that
In
controversial.
watching it live, I was obviously I don't sit with AD and Andy. I sit with my good friend Charlie. I have done gone to football with him for 40 years, and I don't think he's still forgiven me yet. But what he was saying was that it's the mindset of the goalkeeper that the first thing they're going to do, probably because they have that within their armory, is that they'll go down to sprawl at the feet of a defend of a sorry of an attacker in order to try and get the ball. But in so doing, I think they lose a certain level of movement control. And as much as if they went in as a tackle, as if they were a defender, they're going with their legs and they've got a little bit more freedom of movement. Whereas once you've got your upper body, it's not as though you can turn. You can't do a scissor movement with your upper body. Let's put it that way. So once that's there, once your upper body's in the way, you can't get it out of the way you could get your legs out of the way. And we were just discussing that maybe if the keeper had gone in to do it the way that, and if any keeper in those situations goes in as if they were a defender rather than as with the mindset of the goalkeeper, whether they'd actually be more effective. It's one of those I don't think we're going to be able to answer tonight, but it's a consideration that, you know, that they're so ingrained, it's so part of their mindset to do that. actually, sometimes it creates problems for them.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Pedro stepped up himself to calmly slot home the spot kick. Only his second penalty of the season, I believe. So we're still not getting that many of them. I think we've had a few we possibly could have had. There was one on Saturday, actually, wasn't there, where he got pushed over in the box, which I
Yeah.
thought was probably a penalty.
I don't think sometimes Pedro particularly helps himself, does he?
No, I think that's he has got a reputation of going down early, and I think too easily, and I think that is in the referee's mind sometimes. But
Yeah,
you know,
apparently
but
they.
we got given this one, and we converted it. But Andy, too, for it to make it an excellent football match, there needs to be two teams, and Bournemouth more than played their part in it. And you were very, very impressed with Semenyo.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's terrific. I mean, he looks like the sort of player that Brighton would buy. I think Bournemouth's full of players, the sort of players that Brighton would want to buy. It was like us playing against ourselves in a mirror last night. Semenyo was really good. He's so quick. His movement's brilliant. He'll find space anywhere, and he's really quick. He was outpacing our defenders.
Yeah.
And he had a very good chance that first half when he and Verbruggen pulled out the first of what proved to be a couple of decent, very decent saves
Yeah,
indeed.
he had a couple of absolutely vital saves, didn't he?
Yeah.
There was another one, was it at 1-1 in the second half, where somehow he just Schmeichel-esque spread himself
Yeah.
and got in the way, which was great. And but
Hang on, AD, hang on. That's the argument for Semenyon. The argument against him is his defensive duties, where he's a bit of a cart horse. He had five nailed on yellow card opportunities against him. It was the fifth one, which was probably the weakest one, where he find it, and I think it was just down to persistent fouling. There was even one in the first half where, you know, that sort of thing where a team breaks away from, say, a corner or a defensive thing. And one of the players breaks away, and they know full well that if they get past this man quite easily, they've then got 50, 60 yards to run into. Nope, he grabbed up one of our players, and I couldn't tell you who it was. Could have been Minte. Just grabbed him, hauled him down. Referee gives a free kick, but it's one of those where you think, well, it's almost an automatic yellow card. Nope, not that. Baliba goes sailing past him. Nope, he takes him from behind. You know, well, again, free kick. What does he have to do? And I think, like I said, eventually it was something like 70 minutes or, you know, fairly late into the game where he eventually got his yellow card. So,
Yeah.
yeah, he is the kind of player that we would have, knowing full well that he can go flying past players, but will also get done. And, like I say, how he got away with yet the, you know, not getting yellow cards. It
Yeah.
was five. It was his fifth
Well,
one before he finally got it.
God knows we've been critical of Michael Oliver on this show over the years.
Yeah.
But I mean, Andy made a great point last night that he's actually letting stuff go, and he was consistent, because we could have got a couple of yellow cards, which he let go as well. So, it was swings and roundabouts.
Really?
He didn't get, he could have booked everybody at some point, but he didn't. So,
Oh, there was some meaty, there was some lovely meaty tackles going in. I mean,
yeah.
crikey, Minte put one in, you know, and almost sort of like celebrated like he'd scored the winning goal.
To be honest, it was an absolutely stonking tackle,
It
and he
was a
was in the
great
box as
tackle.
well. We had to get it 100%
Yeah.
right.
But we'll come back to Minte's defensive work in a minute. I
Yeah.
suppose we've got to go on to Bournemouth's equaliser, haven't we?
Well, not yet. I was going to talk about the move where Mitoma hit the post,
Yes.
which was,
Expansive one touch football porn.
yeah, it was just absolutely gorgeous. And it was like, we have this thing where we talk about the best goals you've never seen,
I was about to
where
say
we.
our misses of this, our build up of the season must be absolutely, the cupboard must be absolutely jam full. But when
I'm
it comes
sure.
to finishes of the season, you know, someone just opens the key, turns the key, and lets the door open.
Yeah, amazing. This kind of like snuck up on me. I didn't actually realise this until checking earlier. Mitoma's our top scorer at the moment.
Fine. Frankly, I don't care who's our top scorer.
He's currently on 9. Jorginho's on 8,
Is that
and
all
Welbeck's on
games?
7.
Is that all games?
That's all games, yeah.
All games, okay.
But okay, let's talk about the equaliser for the Cherries then, because watching it again today, Andy, I've seen that goal before from that exact position, only it was scored by Jose Escuero.
Yeah, or Julio Enciso, or it was a beautiful goal, and it was, I think it was Alex, I think it was Alex Scott, who started the move for Bournemouth after one of our attacks had broken down, and he sort of squirreled his way away from our defenders, and then set that move rolling. And then once the ball goes to Cliver, he actually takes it out quite a little bit wide and then brings it all the way back in. And the defenders couldn't get anywhere near him. And that strike was just an absolute hurler. What a fantastic goal. Certainly the best goal we've conceded all season. And quite frankly, you could only stand there and applaud it and say, pick that one out.
I was
And
about
it
to say,
was just.
you can almost forgive the. I mean, you can make the argument should a defender have closed them down, but like you say, they couldn't get near him. Yeah, it's almost nice. You don't want to have it happen, but it's almost nice that you can see the goal that you can do nothing about, as opposed to a defensive folly or a moody own goal or a really dodgy penalty. When it's a screamer, you think, okay, fine, fair enough. Don't get me wrong, we can be magnanimous after that game, but yeah.
It was just really
But
good football.
Al, you've got a stat about the goals conceded this calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, the Forest game does ruin everything, but this calendar year, 2025, we've conceded four goals in the league, of which two have been penalties. And Kluivert's one last night was only the second one we conceded from a non-penalty. Let's forget the Forest game because it's I'm with Rudyard Kipling on this one. Let's take triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters the same.
Sorry, was there a tumbleweed going there?
So you don't under you don't know the country's most probably best known poem, if. If you
Yeah,
keep your
I
head
knew
when all
it.
those about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you.
Yeah. So don't worry, I got it.
No, I know. But we just didn't
Yeah.
have you down as a Renaissance man now.
Renaissance, it was written in 1905.
it's always used cornerly for
Yeah.
England before a
Yes.
World
To be
Cup.
honest, I always preferred his cakes, to be honest, but
Oh, God. Right.
Okay, well, there was a winner in this match, and it was scored by Danny Welbeck, kind of in slow motion, Andy. It was again another assist from Jorginho, who very much enjoyed it.
Oh, I mean, it was. I mean, just to sort of wind the clock back a little bit, I thought in that second half, once Bournemouth got the equaliser, they were having quite a decent period of possession, where they seemed to sort of dominate the ball, and we were struggling a little bit. And I did think we were looking a little bit tired because we put a big effort in, and then it was on 72 minutes that Hertzler decided to make the substitutions. It was a triple substitution. Hinshelwood for Essipinian, Gomez had run himself into the ground off for Aouari, and then and obviously Danny Welbeck coming in for a tiring João Pedro. And I thought that wrested back some momentum because I think Bournemouth were definitely on top at that particular point. And then we managed to conjure up the goal just 3 minutes later, with Ruta again winning the ball, charging forward, and he just gets it to Welbeck at the right moment. And Welbeck, I think it was he just had two touches on it. Welbeck, he knew what he was going to do, and that was like a striker's goal, pure instinct, but with a touch of real craft about it. And when he set that ball rolling, It took about another 6 minutes to
It's
actually
still
get there.
going now. Has it gone
It
in
took
yet?
another 6 minutes to actually
That's
get
where
to
the
the
extra time came from.
get to the goal. I was convinced it was going to just hit the post and come out or go wide. And when it went in, I just thought, I just couldn't believe it. But I mean, it was fantastic. That's Danny's first goal for a while.
Yeah, since October. Is it
So
really?
good to have him back in the saddle. And it was, and again, like in keeping with the rest of the match, it was a quality bit of football that did it. It was like, Kepa didn't really have too much of a chance with that because of where Danny had placed it. Absolutely
And it was the
superb.
only, about the only place he could have placed
Yeah,
it if he was a bit
pretty
more.
much.
It really did look like it was going wide.
No, well, actually, I think from where I was, it was, yeah. What it, you just think, is it going to hit a divot? Is there a divot there that, Kepa's been sort of manking out the pitch or something like that? Because, it's going boing, 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 one way or the other. It's a bit of pinball on the turf. But yeah, actually, to be fair, the role stayed true. And like I say, just went for once, actually, just for once, the right side of the post, as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
Well, it
No,
was
and
just
it was a
global.
great goal. But even then, Bournemouth weren't finished. I mean, it's interesting you're saying it was a great game of football. I think probably from a neutral's point of view, I think it was probably manic. It was mad. The thing I would say about it is that as good as we were going forward, there were times when some of our passing was just all over the show. Hertzler called the game, he called the win lucky. And I don't know what necessarily understand what he's referring to in terms of lucky, or what, not how I don't understand. I don't know what specifically he means. But there were times where, we almost were falling into their trap a lot of playing a lot. I mean, a lot of the goal kicks were long. A lot of the passes out were long, and they were winning all the aerial battles. And I'm thinking someone surely must realise that. They are winning the aerial battles, and we therefore must do something about it, unless they realize that playing on the ground is also not going to work. I'll say there were times also, I think Bournemouth were playing too fast. There were sort of like all they needed was just once in a while someone to stick their foot on the ball and say, okay, let's take stock here. Let's have a look, because they were just going bang, 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 bang. And fine, they've been practicing that, but for all the quality was there, the number of misplaced passes they had that went off the field. Yeah, I mean, it made for it exciting, because every time they came forward, they attacked forward and defended back in such waves, as almost as if just it literally almost was waves. They'd have five players ready going forward for an attack. It left them exposed, but then they were back in a heartbeat. I know Southampton are poor, and they're no Bournemouth, but I still think that we could have played better. That's not to say that, even then, we'd have got the result. We got the result in the way that we did. Fine, fantastic. Let's not complain about it too much. But I think that those players will also know, as much as they're, sort of whooping and hollering for the result, they'll also know, we also had to do an awful lot of chasing back.
Okay. Well, now you mentioned it earlier, Andy, but the league table was kind of like concertinaing a little bit, and we can like take stock and have a look. Obviously, that there's some at the time of recording this, it's Tuesday night, so this is still some games to be played on Wednesday night. But it's concertinaing up. Can we start thinking about the E word?
Yeah, well, absolutely. We're in it. I mean, whether we stay in it, we don't know. I mean, the next few games are against our rivals. We've got Fulham, City, and Villa coming up in the league, Newcastle in the cup. So we're getting into like the put up or shut up section of the season where. Yeah, and the good thing is, it's in our hands. We have the opportunity to
Well,
take this to take this now. And as unlikely as it is, the Champions League is in play.
it is, yeah. I
Because
mean,
we know.
as it stands, we're 5 points behind Nottingham Forest, who are currently in third.
And Surrey, who incidentally. I mean, I don't. I think they're playing while we're recording. They're playing while we're recording. Have since that particular game not done particularly well, just before or since, have they?
Not particularly, not particularly. But, you know, I mean, we've got, I mean, Chelsea currently fourth and 46 points. We're in 43 points, so only 3 points behind them. Man City in fifth on 45 points at the time of recording. So, yeah, I mean, this is very much very doable, and it's not a pipe dream. We've done there before when we were talking about it before we'd qualified for Europe at all. It seemed like a weird fever dream, but this is reality now. We're in this.
There is no resting upon this though, because whilst I think that, you know, depends on how the game that goes tonight goes, the title is Liverpool's to lose, frankly. The others at the moment are struggling to keep up. But then after that, like you say, probably, as I say, spaces 4 to 10, as you say, are concertinaing. And if this, you know, carrying on the way it is, and there's no reason why it won't, this is going to go to the last day of the season. Which means that none of us, you know, none of that sort of, you know, half a dozen, six, seven clubs, whatever it might be, can afford to slip up if they really want that European slot.
Well, there's some really nice pubs around Spurs, so that'd be nice. Go on, Andy, you were saying?
No, I mean, it's really exciting, and like, you know, that's why last night, you know, the win over Bournemouth was important. A, there was something riding on it, you know, and we advanced our cause massively by winning it. B, it was against a good team that played well. I think we were a bit fortunate at the moment because of the, you know, they were missing a couple of players, but we were able to take advantage. We got into a real scrap, and we came out with a win. That is really impressive. I also think over the last four games, a pattern is emerging with this team now. It's starting to get an identity. The team is kind of picking itself. I think, you know, you're right, Al, when you say like that, you know, the midfielders rarely last the entire game, but now we've got like two or three tried and tested combinations that mean we don't have to rely on the same two players now. We
No.
can swap them out because we now know, but now the players have had more time to play together. So all the chopping and changing is now starting to bear fruit as people have got game time at different, you know, at different times in the season with different players alongside them. But there's now a familiarity upon, you know, in that group. You can see Belabor part. I mean, really, you know, Belabor's the anchor, but you don't really mind if it's Ayari, Hinchcawood, or now even Gomez that's going to be
Well,
alongside
you've got
them.
FIFA coming
And
back
then you've
fit now
got
as well.
Wilfred
You've got
O'Riordan.
O'Reilly
But
back on the
I
bench.
think they're kind of looking like players for next season now, due to the, you know, the injuries that they've had.
Well,
So,
then you've got Yao Correa to come in next season, who's been absolutely tearing it up in Austria with Sturm Graz, and in the Champions League, getting man of the match performances against like some of the best teams in Europe.
but didn't we also say that, getting back to Andy's original point here, is that this is something we said at the beginning of the season, and in fact we probably touched on in recent Albion Roars, is that it takes half to two thirds of a season for things to start to fall into place when you've got a new manager, half a new squad, or at least a third of a new squad, most of whom are kids. These things take time, and that win against Bournemouth is kind of the antithesis of what had been going on earlier in the season, where we left too many points out on the pitch. Last night, we made sure that wasn't going to be the case. You like to think everyone's learning, and that includes the manager. The Forest game was probably almost, I'd almost argue, a necessity. It was almost like a cleansing of the palate, but using bleach. That it was a humiliating public defeat, but at the end of the day, it was a defeat. But because it was that humiliating, because 7-0 looks horrendous, everyone stops to think about, okay, what are we doing wrong? If it was a 1-0 defeat, you just think, okay, well, it wasn't that bad. When it's 7-0, you think, okay, there's something just not cooking here. And I think that they've actually now sort of almost like sat up, start facing in the same direction, and are ironing out. It's not to say it's not going to happen again, but they are ironing out the problems that they were there a couple of months ago.
And the other point is, we need to point out we're over 40 points. We're safe. We're back in the Premier League next year, so that's good news. And with that, that is all we have time for. So thank you very much to Andy Bass. Thank you to Alan Wares. I've been AD Packham. This has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all again next week. Cheers. Bye.
Slip away. Now I'm the one who's crying.